Hello, I'm Jan Mellows, and you're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. Today, our guest is Matt Schild, formerly known as Matt Fingers. And Matt is a very interesting person we have as a guest tonight because I know him for quite some time. I got to know him in the beginning of the 2000s when he was coordinating hip hop recordings. I think we did it together with Kanye West before he made the big breakthrough, and Mel Beats, a German. Yes, and Matt, you've been in coordinating, you know, recordings for quite some time. You work with big artists together. You help many artists to you know, break through with great features. But you also work with sports companies. You're also getting into the film business, and very, very interesting, you traveled the United States for the last 8 years, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Before we go into this, because I think it's a fascinating story, I would like to start a little bit in the beginning. So how did you start to become this hip hop hustler?
Well, first, it's a pleasure to be on this interview. You know, I was really excited and looking forward to this.
Thank you.
I started out in 1994, interning at Relativity Sony Records, and TVT Blunt Recordings at the same time. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I was at one label, and Tuesday, Thursday, I was at the other label. And that was my first taste in meeting like major label producers, major label artists. And what happened was, funny enough, they said to me, Matt, we love you here, but the mailroom hates you. You know, I was like, why does the mailroom hate me? They said, you can't tape up priority UPS packages or FedEx packages properly. So I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, we can no longer use your services. I said, I intern for free. I said, I'm working. I pay to come here. They said, I'm so sorry. So I was standing in the middle of the lobby of the record label, and I had a decision to make. Mm-hmm. And I was in school at the time, getting an economics degree. And I said, well, okay, go back to school and forget music. Or, you know what? Start putting out records myself with money that I saved up when I was 13 years old, and start putting out vinyl, you know, with, you know, all these people that I met through their label. And I was one of the first six pioneers of independent hip hop in New York that was dealing with major label producers. At that time, most producers and featured artists were independent, that nobody ever heard of them. And I was like kind of the first one to incorporate a combination of a new artist you never heard of with a major label producer and feature. And then from there, it kind of broke me into the international market. Because that's where Japan hip hop was heavy, Germany, England, and they would call me, even Scandinavian countries, and they would call me and say, Matt, we really like what you did for yourself. Can you get us Mos Def, or can you get us Just Blaze or somebody like that on our records? And I was so excited that somebody from, you know, overseas wanted to work with me. I did it for free at first. I just wanted to work in every country.
Yeah.
So it opened up a lot of opportunities and doors that I'm still working with till this day.
Unbelievable. So you basically started off as a hustler from the beginning.
Oh, day one.
Yes, that's day one. That's who you are.
we just adapt. You know, that's what it really is. You know, I used to look down upon the executives. You know, when you're younger, you always look up to the rappers and the producers. Yeah. Like they're the greatest people. But really, the information from the executives was the most valuable. And as I went through the years, I learned how to adapt to what was happening in the music business. And at first, when I was 18, I thought that was a weakness. And then I learned later on that that was a strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the same totally. That first, it was all about the artists, all about the producers. And then step by step, you get into the business and learn the business behind it. And of course, that's also an art, as we learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are artists. We're artists also.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Good. So, and you did this for, I mean, you're still doing this basically today, right?
Yeah, I just turned down a lot more things than I used to. Mm-hmm. So I went from doing everything. Every phone call I received, I would say yes. And eventually, as I got older, my responsibilities changed. I couldn't just take meetings about other meetings. And if they were serious and the budgets were ready or I was excited about who I was working with, then I would entertain it. And if it was just kind of like brainstorming, then I would leave it alone. Mm-hmm. So it changed from underground, you know, hip hop. Requests to more commercially, you know, pop viable artists, you know. So went from, you know, the Talib Kweli's and Mos Def's to, you know, the Chris Browns and the Snoop Dogs and the Jason Derulo's, you know.
Yes.
That's that. But really for me, I learned over the years that that's a false sense of security financially. And I don't count on it for my income anymore because you need everything to go perfect in those jobs. Like Snoop Dogg, for instance, he has to say yes, he likes the music. Then the artist has to want Snoop Dogg. Then is he going to be on tour? The timing of his availability, will he accept the amount of money you're offering him? Will we get label clearance? And for me to make my money, all those things have to go perfectly well. Mm-hmm. And when they don't go well, I go from making $10,000 to zero. You know,
yes.
So, you know, it became challenging to kind of count on it.
For somebody who might be interested or is just curious, could you maybe explain how normally, let's say the project works in the end, how would the process be from somebody calling you and I want to have Snoop Dogg or Chris Brown or Kanye West to, you know, the record being on Spotify? What would be the normal process?
Okay, so first, I ask them, who is the artist? Mm-hmm. Then I say, do you have a song completed and ready? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then I would say, what record label is it coming out on? Is it independent? Is it major? What's the amount of money that you would like to spend on the budget? Then what I would do is for Snoop Dogg, so I call Snoop Dogg up. I say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars in cash for you in 4 weeks from now. They wanted 16 bar verse and they want a green screen music video. And he goes, sounds good to me. Let's go. And then I'll go ahead and I'll coordinate the director for the video in LA. Mm-hmm. Any sort of stylist or choreography that's needed. Then the music itself, if the artist overseas does not have the music prepared, like the writing and the instrumentation, then I'll find the music producer, I'll find the songwriter, and then I will get Snoop to record his part in LA to it. And then after that, we mix it. And typically, if it's an international record, typically they will do their own marketing, you know, like Sony Germany or Warner France or wherever. Usually they don't ask me to do marketing except for social media. Hey, Matt, we want to get the record on, you know, can Snoop post about it on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook? You know, Spotify, usually they don't ask me that. I guess they have their own distribution through their company.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the process. That's it. They come with cash and, you know, and it's simple when it's simple and it's complicated when it's complicated, you know.
Yes, I mean, yeah. There are many, many things in the whole process which can go wrong and then the whole thing crashes, right?
And they will go wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, I take life lessons from it. Like, I've gone through so much, you know, pardon my language, shit with even Snoop. It was a horror story the first, you know, second time that I worked with him. And I'll tell it very briefly, but 30 people from Turkey flew over, right, to L.A., and it was their whole team, the artist, everybody, right? And I said, well, you know, we need to book a recording studio where they can build two sets, right? So on the left side of the room, they'll build one video set. And when you record your second song, build the other set on the other side. So he can just hop from one into the other and he's done. They're like, no, it's going to cost too much money for that studio. I was like, okay. I was like, but you know how much time it takes to break down a set? An hour and a half to build it up? I said, he might not wait for you. He might not wait for you. So, okay, so what happens? We thought Snoop was going to record his verses at the studio, so it gave them time. No, Snoop did his at home and came fully prepared, right, at the video shoot. And he said, okay, guys, I'm ready. You're like, oh, shit, okay, okay. First set was ready. He does the video. Okay, guys, I'm ready to go. Where's the second set? They're like, we need an hour and a half. He waited 10 minutes. Damn. He left, right? He goes, says, look, I have something to do with Eddie Murphy, at my own shoot, and I'll come back afterwards. That was about 4 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
So 5 o'clock comes. So now you have nervous Turkish executives in there, right?
Oh, my God.
And the artist wasn't even nervous. It was the executives. Yeah. Oh, my God, Matt. Is he coming back? Is he coming back? I said, don't worry. He's going to come back. So I'm calling constantly, but the phone is off because he's shooting with Eddie Murphy. So long story short, it's about, I think, 1 a.m. So 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours go by. He says, my friend Terrace, who I do these jobs with, says to me, Matt, Snoop is tired. He wants to go home. I said, go home? Go home? I said, I have 30 Turkish people here. I said, if we don't go ahead and get Snoop to come back, I'm screwed, okay? And he says, he wants $10,000 to come back.
No.
I said, oh, no. I said, oh, God. I said, they don't have any more money. They were like, well, I said, I have $10,000 on me, right? Cash. Mm-hmm. That was all my money, right? So I had a decision to make right there. Do I give him the money and make 30 Turkish people very happy and me very sad? Or do I keep the money and then I make 30 Turkish people very unhappy? Yes. And I said to myself, client comes first. They flew all the way here. I felt terrible. And I'm a professional,
Wow.
So I said, have him come back. Snoop comes back. I take $10,000 in cash out of my pocket. Right? That was the hardest handful of cash I ever had to give somebody.
I believe
it. Right? I gave it to him. He did his job. Everybody's taking photos. They're all happy. I'm about to cry. Right? So, but I'll tell you, the moral of the story was 3 months later, I got a phone call from the Serbian owners of the studio. Right? Mm-hmm. They said, Matt, we love what you did with Snoop Dogg with the Turkish people. We have an artist that is girlfriends with the Serbian general of the army, right? They want to do a record with Snoop, and the budget was and the budget was twice as big as the Turkish budget. And I ended up making twice as much money the next time. And I said, see, that's a lesson. I said, that's a lesson.
Yes.
You
how
did
many,
the right
how
thing.
Many records with Snoop have you done?
6, 7? Something like that.
Is the most
once I did that. Mm-hmm. Well, not anymore, because he did so many people like, oh, no, there's already 30 in the Universal system alone in overseas. He's wrapped with everybody. He doesn't turn down anything. But I did multiple types of jobs with him, whether he was rapping or endorsing a brand. But that right there allowed me to deal with any stress. Mm-hmm. With no problem. Like, I was like, if it's not something to that level, I'm not going to stress about it. It's no big deal. That was probably the most stressful scenario I've ever been through. And a beautiful lesson of, like, when you know you're doing the right thing, you might not see it at first, but eventually, it turns around, for the better.
Absolutely. It happened to me often. And I have to say, when we work together, I saw some stressful things already, which were, I think, kind of pressure, but not as much as the Snoop thing, but I would think coming close to that. So I know it's a tough job.
It's never easy.
No, mm-hmm. No. Nothing is easy ever, but this is particular, I think, difficult. You have to work with people with very big personalities, and then you have to work on a minute schedule often to get this in line. I think that's really art. That's really art.
It's a mastery. Like, people think if they have Snoop Dogg's email or phone number, they could do the same job.
No.
And they learn at the first sense that it's difficult, they don't know what to do. You know, mm-hmm. they snap under pressure. Me, I'm just so used to, and it's also cultural, right? So I pretty much can get along with anybody, you know, West Coast, East Coast, old people, young people, overseas, domestic, it doesn't matter. And I think there's also an art to how to communicate with different cultures yeah. as well, and understanding and also, what makes them go.
You know? Also from rapper to MBA business executive.
Totally different. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's an art to it's a skill.
And so, I mean, when you're telling me this, you know, it already sounds like a movie to me, you know. So, and now you're just in the process of getting into the movie business. Can you tell us about that? Yeah. Because you have to do a movie about that yes. at one point.
Well, here's the great part. I filmed all of it. I filmed no. the whole the Snoop Dogg thing. I had my camera with me, you know.
Wow. Since when did you film? The last 20 years?
Okay. Or? No, I filmed for a long time. But as far as this particular story, mm-hmm. it started in 2011, right? Yeah. And I was going up for a job at Warner Brothers, and I wanted an A&R position, and I really just wanted a check and healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. And I said, you know what? I've got Jay-Z, I've got Kanye, I've got everybody on my resume. I could get this job. And I went out there, and then 3 months later, I found out they gave the job to someone else. And I was mm-hmm. I was pretty depressed at the time, mm-hmm. you know. And I was sitting in my car, and I said to myself, I'm tired of waiting for life to live me. I think mm-hmm. I want to give life a push, right? Mm-hmm. And I can only control my car and my gas money. So I drove to Washington, D.C. to my friend's house. I had no idea what I was doing. I just wanted to get away. And while I'm there, music producers in Virginia saw on Twitter, there wasn't even Instagram at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, Matt, I see you're in Washington, D.C. You know, why don't you come visit and I'll play you some music? Okay, well, no reason to go home. So I said, okay, I kept going. And as I was traveling, every producer in each state would say, Matt, come visit me. Matt, come visit me. So eventually I got to Atlanta, and there was a producer named Focus who works with Dr. Dre. And he said, I think what you're doing is really cool. Are you documenting this? And I said, no, I don't have a camera. And he went into his room in the back, and he brought out a Samsung handheld camera. Mm-hmm. And he said, now I want you to go document. And I retraced my steps, and I went, because I only had maybe travel to three states at that time. So I went back to those three states, and I did all of Toronto through Miami, all the way through the Midwest, Mississippi, Alabama, Cincinnati, Kentucky, Detroit, Texas, California. I did a lot of the country. Wow. And I would get these jobs like the Snoop Dogg job or the Busta Rhymes job with Addis, or, you know, various things. And I would document them for 3 years traveling in my car. And then eventually I had camera people with me probably year number four through now. So you'll see the evolution of my footage from grainy lo-fi to 4K footage. And it's called Road to the Human Experience. And it's a journey of self-discovery and connectivity through music and wow. the arts, you know? So most important thing was not the celebrity part. It was learning, who am I as a person? What is my identity? We say Ralph Lauren has an identity. Equestrian, Hamptons, Cadillac cars have identities. I said, rappers have identities. Why not people behind the scenes also, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And my friend said to me one day, he said, Matt, it's so beautiful what you're doing. You're connecting with people in person when technology is dividing us with emails and LOLs and emojis, and like nobody's getting together in person anymore. And he said, you're Jerry Maguire. Yeah. You know, you're gonna give hugs to your client, and it's gonna be a very one-on-one sort of experience. And I said, oh my god, I was like, it took me all these years to figure out who I was, which was in front of me the whole time.
That's how it always is, right? You're the latest seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't see it until you see it.
So this movie, is it coming out? Is it like a 90 minutes movie, or what? How's going to be the format? What's the story with this?
So I've edited two trailers and sizzle episodes for it, and I sat with production companies, and they said to me, they said, Matt, we love your concept. We love the footage. You have all the star power. We need your screenwriting to be a little clearer, right? Because there's so many layers to it. I said, well, I'm not a screenwriter, so I have to go get one. And as I was finding a screenwriter, I decided to go back to college and get my film degree. So right now I'm currently in school getting my film degree so I can do it professionally rather than winging it and freestyling.
Yeah. And which city are you doing the degree?
Orlando, Florida. And I'm at Full Sail University.
All right. Amazing.
So you're never too old to learn, right? No,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Lifelong
learning.
Yeah. All the time. And you know what? It's addictive. It's very addictive.
It is.
Like learning new subjects, growing. I'm loving it. And, you know, so I was recommended to do a full length one, you know, 2 hour, you know, 1 hour, 20 minutes, and go to like film festivals and screen it. But eventually, once it gets picked up, to break them into 30 minute episodes or whatever for an ongoing series. That was the recommendation. So, you know, one mile at a time, right?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, you already have the most important thing. You have amazing content and a great story. So I think that's key. And now you just have to, you know, put it in the right format, basically. But I'm sure.
Exactly. You know what it is? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just saying, you know what it's like, Jan? It's like having ingredients in your closet that has like the seasoning for your food and your sauces. Just trying to figure out, how do I put all of this together in a recipe to work?
Exactly.
That's the key.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I'm sure, you know, many people will be interested in watching it, including me, but it's an amazing story. I would like to hear more details of this 7 year journey through the US. Can you tell us maybe one or two great stories that happened?
Yes. There's one in particular that stood out to me. Yeah. 2011, my mother and I received a phone call to fashion design and illustrate for Kanye West. So I said, oh, great, let's do it. You know, and the guy said, do you think your mom will be interested? And my mother used to be,
can you maybe tell about your mom, what she was doing, so everybody knows?
Yes. So for 22 years, she was the senior VP of design at Ralph Lauren, right? Yeah. So she retired maybe, I don't know, seven years ago, something like that. And she was sitting at home and she was a little bored, and all she was doing was playing with her dogs, you know, all day. And I said, hey, mom. I said, would you like to go work with Kanye West? And she didn't know who he really was, right?
Yeah.
She says, oh, and this is years ago. She says, oh, isn't that guy that made that girl cry on stage? And I said, mom, don't screw this up. It's just a job. Yes, okay, he made her cry. No big deal. He's cool. Let's make it happen. You know. So we went to the Mercer Hotel. And she brought her portfolio book of all her work from Ralph Lauren, and he loved it. And as he's talking, my mother says something to him, and she says, are you humble? And I was like, oh God, she's about to screw this up, right? And he says, no, I'm not humble. He says, but I am gracious for everything I have that God gave me. And I only have 100 years on this earth, and I'm not dimming my light for anybody. And a light bulb went off inside of my head. And I said, wow, how many years have I dimmed my light to make someone else more comfortable? How many years have I dimmed my light because I was afraid of, you know, failure, or afraid of the attention that something would get me?
Yes.
And at this time, I was, you know, I was still like halfway courageous and then halfway kind of like quiet. So I decided from that point that I wasn't going to be an asshole, but at the same time, I wasn't going to apologize for being who I was, which was a guy who went out and accomplished things. If somebody else didn't have that courage, that was on them. I wasn't going to apologize for it anymore. And that was a major lesson there. And it also gave me the opportunity to travel with my mother and get her some money in her pocket, which I never did my whole life. I always borrowed from her, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was nice to give back. And it was a beautiful experience.
It was a beautiful story as well. And to be honest, I mean, I needed a long time to get this lesson as well. Not, you know, put your own light under the shadow. And I'm teaching this to my daughter from the beginning, you know, if the others are, you know, jealous, or if they want to bring you down, or if you think they feel better if you don't show your talents, don't do that. You know, go for it big time. Don't hide yourself. Don't hide your light. Yes.
Yes, I think it's good for self-esteem and self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And then that way, as you know, the child gets older, they can live with no regrets. They know they did everything in their power to do the best they can, and that's all you can expect. Yeah. And that was one story, you know, for me. But there's so many. I think that's why I call it the human experience, because yes, Kanye West is interesting, of course. Yes, Snoop Dogg is interesting, of course. But what I learned as a person and what I learned as a human being was more valuable, mm-hmm. you know, through yeah. those experiences. And I think that's what younger people and, you know, they really need to hear the process, what the truth is, not the smoking mirrors of social media where all they see is the end results, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, okay, yes, they'll see a picture with me and Snoop Dogg, but they have no idea what it was like to deal with 30 Turkish nervous people. You know, it was just ridiculous, you know, and I think that's why I'm enjoying more public speaking now than I used to. You know, the sharing part is really good. And that's why I'm on your show. I just really love, you know, sharing.
Thank you. And it's so valuable. The lessons, even in this, you know, very short time, you can give to us. And I love your story, man. And you also just became father, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't think it would happen for me, but it happened. So,
how did it change your life and your view?
Oh my God. My value system changed. Right. Yes. So, I only used to care about ripping and running and going to this event and this studio session. And I didn't really have anything to go home to, you know, like the way my other friends had with their wives and their children. And I just thought it was going to be just music for me. And when the baby came, I was like, wow, there's so many sacrifices that I have to make that while I'm at home watching Sesame Street or watching Jungle Book or a Disney film, that my friend is out with Nas or Jay-Z, that I have to be okay with that, that actually being with my baby is more important. And that was hard for me to accept that. It was a fight within myself. Mm-hmm. One part of me that by habit, I wasn't used to anything else but the music industry. And then the other part of me that said, being a father is more valuable and it's forever, you know? Mm-hmm. And I still deal with that. Like right now, being in Florida at school, I'm by myself. My baby's not here. I have to go back to New York every Thursday through Sunday, you know? So I'm in class, I'm traveling, yes. I'm working, I'm a father, I'm a student, and it's teaching me that I'm capable of a lot more than I thought I was, you know? Yes. I didn't know I was capable of pushing past these comfort zones. So, yeah, when I hear like friends of mine complaining, like, oh my God, I didn't get this phone call back, or oh my God, the stress is over my phone bill. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. Like, or my dog, well, at least a dog, you can leave in your house and you can go out. You can't leave your baby by itself in the house. And, you know, so it's, and it's challenging. It's especially I'm a single father. So I don't really have anyone to pass him to when I'm with him. You know, it's pretty much me and him. Sometimes my mother, you know, but it's mostly like me and him. And it's, but it's he's worth it. He's worth it, you know.
Yes, for sure. But I know when my wife is not there, and I'm too, particularly when my daughter was younger, you are 24/7, basically. You can't do anything at all. It's 24/7, right?
Sleep. You know, I'm excellent at baby formula. You know, like I wake up at 3 a.m, I go, I pour it in, I know how many ounces, I know, I warm it up, I change his diaper, I know when he's hungry, I know when he, like my mother doesn't know why he's crying all the time. And I go, I know why he's crying, he needs to sleep, or he needs to go ahead and have his Pampers changed, or he wants to watch Jungle Book, you know, so, you know, it's just, I love it, it's priceless.
Yeah. Amazing. And so with your mother, after the Kanye West Corporation, is it growing that you work together with her and you're doing projects together?
Yes and no. So I stopped doing the music people with her. Mm-hmm. So she was like working with Busta Rhymes and Kanye West and Damon Dash mm-hmm. and all these people. And I just don't think that they understood how my mother operates mm-hmm. and my mother didn't understand how they operate. So I said, you know what? I don't want to hear my mom complaining all the time. I say, Mom, you know what you need to do is just put out your own artwork. She owns all the rights to all her art from Ralph Lauren.
Wow.
And she's the only one with those rights. And I said, do your book of art, do your galleries, art galleries, and, you know, merchandise, and I'll help you with that, and I'll get people to support you. But me, I'm not in the fashion world, so I try to get people to help her who know more than me. And she, honestly, she needs somebody that has more patience with her. She's like, I can't, I'm her son, so I'm like, come on already, what are you doing? You know, so I don't think she wants to hear my voice all the time, you know, yelling at her. So, so she's doing that. And I'm, you know, focused in on, you know, what I'm doing with the coordinating and being in school and, you know, doing various ventures.
Yes. So the plans for the future basically is to keep on coordinating also with sports teams. I think you really moved into the sports business as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I worked with a lot of athletes doing cool, like cross marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So I would take like an NBA athlete and I would have him record a song and then we'd do a music video and then he would promote it. And then we would get all the sports channels and, you know, like ESPN and Complex and Fox Sports, all these different media outlets to help athletes be more than just what they do on the court, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting huge, this business, right?
Huge. And it's not just the superstars. A lot of the people I work with are the middle range athletes sometimes that are good, but they're not superstars. Mm-hmm. So they need help with their brands. LeBron James does not need my help, right? Mm-hmm. But his teammate might, right? So I go in there and I produce like a sports music show called For the Record, and we do a lot of like mini documentary stuff where we'll take maybe a recording artist and we'll bring him to a sports arena and do different things with teams, and then we'll take people from who are athletes and do things in music and fashion. So I'm definitely venturing off into creative marketing for professional athletes.
Amazing. I know in Europe there are companies who, for example, if the football like soccer season, they have a break, then they take them to Dubai and to California maybe, and they shoot them driving Lamborghini, driving Ferrari, eating in Dubai golden steaks, which is also very controversial. But then after that, the videos are posted on Instagram and everybody's talking about it. So then they get like hype, also those middle range players often. And then they get a lot of hype in the newspapers. Everybody's hating him because he ate this golden steak, you know, but still, they get PR, you know, that's
yeah, exactly.
Huge, this business. Yeah.
Oh, social media also, you know, so they could post those, you know, that content on those pages. I also worked for WordPress. So WordPress, you know, who develops websites.
Yeah.
And they hired me for a few years and they said, you know, Matt, can you, you know, they wanted to start developing, you know, sites for, you know, influencers and entertainers as well as athletes. Mm-hmm. So athletes, these people, everybody wants the attention and everybody wants to build their brand. and it's very competitive, you know? So they come to me to kind of give them that personal attention, but the creative advantage also.
And in the future, you do the documentary as well for them.
Oh yeah, let's go. Because that's, hey guys, not only did I produce my own documentary, but I could get you a show on Netflix or Hulu or Disney app or whatever it is. Yeah, that's really the goal, is to produce original content, original films. I think that that's where, at least in my opinion, where some of the things in entertainment are going. You look at all these streaming platforms, and they constantly need new quality content and new ongoing series. Yes. It's not going anywhere, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Content is on a big return, I think. I mean, content is king. They always said it, but now you can really feel it. And it goes even down to like copywriters. I mean, copywriters are in so much demand nowadays. Whereas like 10 years ago, they really had to look for jobs. Now it's almost like coders. Everybody wants copywriters, for example. So everybody who does content is far more in demand now.
Across the board.
Across the board.
Every genre. Yeah. And a lot of people, even in fashion, are doing the same things that music people are doing and athletes are doing. They're doing these, you know, these videos that market themselves. They get more personal. It's kind of like mini reality shows with all of these influencers. And I think for me is, it's kind of good, because it's like, at first you're like, oh my God, there's a million people trying to do this. But, you know, it inspires me to get more creative, to go ahead and do something that the other people are not doing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the challenge. You know, how do you stand out above everybody else you're competing with?
And well, I think with your background and the edge you can give, I think you already have something which is special. I mean, not a lot of people can give them the edge you can give them, for example.
Thanks. I'm doing my best. I think the hard part is finding consistent clientele. That's the people who are actually willing to take the chance on themselves and spend the money. That's the challenge. You know.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect timing to say that. So if somebody listens to this episode and they want to get, you know, Snoop Dogg on their next record, or they want to get it for their athletes who they manage, they want to get a nice video and get them in another light, or they want to, you know, maybe even go into audiovisual content, they want to produce with you something, how can they contact you? Where do they find you?
Email is fine, you know.
Yes,
I think giving out my phone number maybe would be, you know, difficult. I'll get all of these phone calls, which I wouldn't mind, but the email they can contact would be get@boc@gmail. So it's getatb, like boy, o, c, like cat, at gmail.com. And reach out, and all they have to do is tell me what they have in mind and what they want to accomplish. And then from there, we could go on WhatsApp and we can speak and put together a quality project.
Perfect. I will also write the email in the transcript of the episode. And to wrap this up, the last question I would like to ask you is, if for like maybe 18-year-old, 20-year-old person who wants to get into the music business, as an artist, but as a, you know, business, from the business perspective, what would you recommend, and where do you see? Maybe 20 years ago, we would have said, go to a record company, go to Sony, Universal, or something. What would you say today? Where should they go? How should they start? And what kind of attitude would you recommend? What kind of tips could you give them?
Well, I think first they should get a therapist. I think that would be helpful. one that is on call, you know, at any drop of the dime, they can pick up the phone and say, I'm having a lot of problems. Yeah. But seriously, actually, I'm being serious partially, because I think it's not made for everybody. I think you have to have a really thick skin. I think you have to have a high emotional IQ.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, because everything when it goes wrong is going to feel personal. It's going to feel like, why is somebody not calling me back? Why are they not responding to my email? Who do they think they are? I mean, you could go on 20 years driving yourself crazy thinking about these type of things, because they are going to happen. Why did so-and-so take my publishing? Why did so-and-so not give me credit? Why did I get dropped? Why did I get fired? I think the key thing is information, right? So the more information you know business-wise, and the more information that you know emotionally, right? Because I think they're both equally as important.
Yeah.
So I would suggest on the emotional side, audiobooks, such as there's one about emotional IQ. There's another one called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's Manson. An awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And it teaches you about value system, you know, that the music business is conditional. What have you done for me today? What have you done for me yesterday? But, you know, one day it might turn around and say, who are you? But family, you know, is, you know, more unconditional. Well, depending on the family member. But for the most part, you know, I think that people need to learn the balance of that. And then I would say 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, Deepak Chopra. I mean, these are all things that 50 Cent, all these people read outside of, you know, 48 Laws of Power. Yes. I think all these books are very important to teach you how to defend yourself in the business. Not necessarily use the information for wrong reasons, but just to know that everybody does not have your best interest in mind. And then as far as professionally, I think going to conferences is important. I think publishing, learning more about equity, super important. You know, my friend Steve Obell, he's got WeWorking University online with a lot of like testimonials from Charlie Walk and, you know, this one and that one, publishers and executives and managers and artists. I think gaining that information, credible information, is very good. And I think it's, you know, anybody who really wants to be in the business is going to go the extra mile and look into researching that information rather than just going on social media. So yes. I would say those two things. And if you can't find those two things, get out while you can.
Do another job.
Go do another job. Okay. And go, you'll be very happy with your life, because, you know, it's definitely not for everybody.
Where would you say, where should they start? Should they try to get an intern at Spotify or something, or should they try to hang out with artists or be DJ themselves? Or what is a good start, or just anything?
I think there's nothing wrong with going to Spotify and getting an internship if you can. You'll meet a lot of interesting people, but you're also limited to being inside of that office, right? So I think you go where God takes you, right? So you investigate all of it. You investigate being on your own. You investigate sending out resumes for internships. And whoever is most interested in you and there's an opportunity available and it's credible, then I say you run where you run with it. And it might not be, you know, be something that you can get approval from your parents. You know, they might not understand it. You might not even understand it, you know, but you have to go where you're supposed to go. And that will, you know, one experience will lead you to the next experience, and will, you know, it's, and it won't be about Spotify 20 years from now. It'll be about, that was your first start somewhere, and it led you to wherever you are now.
Absolutely. I agree. Just start, and then you can still shift and change and modify and whatever during your process.
Yeah. You're never going to figure your whole life out in one day.
No, exactly.
It's impossible. I keep trying, and God keeps telling me I'm stupid. So I have to give out my social media handles also, if you want.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
First,
yes.
Instagram is Matt Schilt, BOC. So it's MattSchiltBOC. Twitter is at Matt Fingaz, MattFingaz. Those two right there are the main ones. And I really only give out my Facebook if we're, you know, friends. So
good. So maybe in the last thing you can tell us, BOC, tell us what is BOC?
BOC stands for Business of Coordination. So it is a multi-tiered production company that offers the services of, you know, talent consultation, creative marketing, pretty much what do you need, and we provide it for you.
Perfect. Basically, that's summarizing our whole interview.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. So Matt, I want to acknowledge you really for being like, you know, since kind of the beginning of my career, I've seen you as a hustler in very tough jobs. It can be a really hard business. You've been in really deep into the hardest and most difficult tasks with people who can also be very tough, very hard. And you maintained always a positive mindset, positive personality. You give kindness, friendliness to people in this business, which definitely needs a lot of strength to do that. And I think you're a role model for the new generation.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I want to say thank you to you as well, because you opened up, you know, an opportunity to work. You know, when we did the Mel Beat stuff, yeah. Kanye West remembered that when I worked with my mother. So 2011, right. He remembered 2002, because that was his first opportunity recording overseas, right?
Amazing.
And it always kept the connection strong. And then the second part was, you know, Raptile, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I don't know you, I don't know Raptile, right? So, you know, so, and I've done so many amazing jobs with Raptile, you know, Addis Musa. We've done, and we still to this day, still do business together. And it's changed my life a lot of times, and his as well. So I have to like indirectly, directly thank you for being the instrumental figure in that.
Very happy to be that.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
So yeah, I put everything in the transcript, all the destinations on social media as well. And I hope that an interesting project, at least one, will come out for you and for the other person who will contact you. It happened in other podcasts I did, and I'm sure
Yes. Quite
positive it can happen here as well. I hope it's a fascinating
one. Yes, my baby needs it. My baby needs it. Let's go.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Matt. It was okay. A great interview with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'll send you the right picture also. You could pick and choose which one you like.
Perfect.
When you promote
Thanks.
It. Okay?
Yes. I will do that. Send me two.
Okay. Yeah, I'll send you two.
Good.
Okay, cool. Take care. And we'll have to catch another basketball game next time you're back in New York.
We'll do that. And for everybody who's listening, if you want to book a 15-minute call with me and I listen to your case and give you my advice, you can do that. Just go on janmehlhaus.com, JanMehlhaus.com. Thanks for listening today. Thank you, Matt. See you in New York at Basketball
You're very
NBA.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.